John Hansen in for Bob Sera. Thanks so much for listening here today on this cloudy Monday morning. Sunrise about 5 minutes away. Don't think we'll see much of it today. Nick Foles or Mitch Trubisky? That's one of the big questions today. I think we all know the answer to that, or a lot of us do. We'll find out what Dan Hampton thinks coming up after the 7 o'clock news on the very surprising 3-0 Chicago Bears. We'll get to that in a bit. Let's start things off here on the 6:30 segment with Dr. Kevin Most. We've got to answer all of your COVID questions. I've got a lot of them, too. Dr. Most is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. This segment sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Good morning, Dr. Most.
Good morning, John. How are you doing?
Oh, very well. Boy, you wonder every single week if we have more and more questions, and we do, because policies keep on changing. Each state's tackling this in many different ways, and that's kind of where I want to start. I actually want to start with our neighbors in the north, Wisconsin, just seeing an explosive rise. Well, I guess I shouldn't put words in the epidemiologist's mouth, but 18% positivity rate some days. They're really having some issues.
Yeah, they really are, and you can't discount that a lot of these may be students coming back or starting to do a lot more testing at the college level, but certainly concerning, and it's not just Wisconsin, but certainly so close, it certainly hits home for us. So major concern, and as we go into the fall and into the flu season and start to see the stress on the hospital and the health systems, this is not the way we want to be walking into the flu season.
Yeah, and part of it, you know, when Illinois kind of went through a bump earlier this month and into August as well, you know, a lot of it could be chalked up to the fact that Illinois was doing a lot more testing, right? I mean, we saw huge increases, especially on our college campuses. But when I mentioned that 18-point positivity rate, that isn't the average. I don't know. I just saw that was one day last week. This can't be just chalked up just to testing, right, Dr. Most?
No, it can't. And if it were, and we say, oh, you know, that's okay, we're starting to find more of the asymptomatic people, that's great. You know, it's good that they're doing more testing, which is good as long as we're doing the contact tracing to go back and to minimize those people's exposure to vulnerable populations. The bad thing is when you look in Wisconsin, look at Green Bay right now. Their hospitals are absolutely filled to the gills. They cannot fit any more patients in. They have emergency room patients sitting in the halls. So again, we're getting back to they're not as bad as how New York was, but certainly not boding well as we're coming again into this time. When you get that rate that high, you are going to get exposure to vulnerable populations, which are going to put stress back on the hospital systems, which is our biggest concern.
And I imagine when you have hospitals filled, I heard Steve Grzanich say on Friday, 82% of hospital beds filled in Wisconsin, and that was as of Friday. Obviously, that's bad news for folks with COVID, but also for everyone else that needs to go in for other things.
Oh, it is. You know, it'll come to a point where the governor up there is going to say, hey, we're going to have to cut back on elective surgeries. We're going to have to cut back on elective screening because of the stress on the health system, which is where we do not want to go. You know, we had that about 2.5 month break where we were not doing elective cases. And during that time, you saw diseases start to advance. You saw more advanced colon cancers. You saw more advanced breast cancers. You saw people dying at home from heart attacks because they couldn't have the elective stuff and they were not coming in because of the fear of COVID.
All right. We're going to start talking about Florida here. Their governor, Ron DeSantis, announcing that they're lifting all restrictions on bars, restaurants, and will be for the foreseeable future, saying that they're not going to go backwards. I forgive a blunt question, Dr. Most, but would you go to a bar during these times?
No. I mean, I hate to get down to the political side, but I think this is totally irresponsible. You know, when you sit there and look at he's opening theme parks, gyms, fitness centers, bars, pubs to full capacity and no penalties for refusal to wear a mask, he is just asking for a disaster to happen in Florida. And I feel sorry for the health care givers and the first responders down there for what I assume that they are going to be exposed to here over the next 3 to 4 weeks.
What I don't get about it is they had a giant spike in, what was that, July? You know, 10,000 cases a day. Okay, so then they put some restrictions in place, really encouraged the mask thing, and then their numbers went down. I just don't get why reversing it at this point.
I think he's more focused on the economy right now, okay. And you know, he's hearing all these asymptomatic cases, asymptomatic. Well, you know what? There are asymptomatic, but you have a large population in Florida that are vulnerable, and these individuals are going to be getting exposed to this. So that's the biggest concern. People have to understand that although the disease for the most part, for many people, it's asymptomatic with minor symptoms. The stress put on hospitals for the vulnerable population is something that we are not built to handle. Think about we're asking schools, go to 50% capacity. Think about we're asking restaurants, go to 50. You can't say that to a hospital.
Right.
Hospital is built and has been in business and has been treating patients based on the needs of the community. Now with a big upsurge for these unusual ones, we still have the regular patients that we still need to care for.
John Hansen in for Bob Surratt. I spent that entire commercial break trying to come up with a really clever intro to bring Dr. Most back in. He's the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Central DuPage Hospital, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Doctor, I was between like less is most. I don't know. I couldn't come up with anything. I'm sure someone has come up with a great, you know, play on words with Dr. Most as your last name.
No, I have heard it my entire life. You know, I've been called Dr. Least. I've been called, as have my brothers and sister have as well. We've lived with it. It's fine.
All right. Okay. Sounds good. I'm glad I couldn't come up with anything then. All right.
Yeah.
Question from the 779 for Dr. Most. We've had two other types of coronavirus, SARS in 2002, MERS in 2012. Both lasted 2 years, then disappeared. A vaccine has still not been made for those. Why should we think we can create a vaccine for COVID so quickly? First, I just want to make sure that those facts are in line with what you think and the question then.
Well, the facts are pretty close. SARS did come and go pretty quickly. It did disappear. MERS is still around. We just haven't had any cases. We've only had two cases of MERS in the United States through the time of it. But there were about 200 cases of MERS last year, so that's still hanging around. As far as how quickly we're making the vaccine or why we think we can, certainly when you saw the impact go worldwide, which you didn't see with SARS and MERS, you got the attention of, you know, pharmaceutical companies to a point where, you know, we have 170 between pharmaceutical companies and academic institutions that are now working on vaccines. The issue is going to be how quickly can it be and how safe will it be by the time it's done.
And what they're doing in the UK is pretty interesting, too.
Well, the UK is potentially going to do something extremely interesting. If they do a challenge trial, and what that means, for those of you who don't know, is I'm going to get vaccinated with a potential vaccine, and I would not get the placebo. I would definitely get the vaccine, and then I would be inoculated a few weeks later with the virus. So the way we're doing vaccine trials here is we are vaccinating, you know, 30,000 people, and then we're tracking to see if they get the virus versus those who got the placebo if they got the virus. What the UK is saying is, let's do this a little bit quicker, you guys. Let's give them the vaccine, but then let's infect them and see if we get protection.
Oh, no.
So you have a lot of people signing up for it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I guess, you know, people are so afraid or eager to move this thing along. I'm just glad that they can sign up. I'm glad we have some volunteers because I do not want to go to the front of the line for that. Dr. Most, a lot of questions about flu shots coming in about, you know, should we be getting one this year? When should we get one this year? Will it help in the fight against COVID?
Yes. So it's a couple good questions buried in there. One is absolutely everyone should get a flu shot this year. If you think about what we really want to do is de-stress the system and also make sure we keep everyone as healthy as possible. If you get the symptoms of influenza in another year, you go, oh, I got the flu. Boy, I wish I would have taken a vaccine. And now I can take Tamiflu to help save myself here or shorten the duration. Now, when people get those symptoms, they're going to be saying, oh, my gosh, is this influenza or is this COVID? So now we're going to start to see a rush on testing for it, which is going to stress the system. And also, just for your own health, we could have a very mild flu season this year. If everyone got the vaccine, we did the masking, we did the social distancing, that would make a huge impact on the health of the United States. So we're really encouraging everyone. As far as the timing, I'm telling everybody October 1st is a great time to get it. I wouldn't wait till any later than the middle of October because we know we've seen influenza plenty of times well before Thanksgiving, and the vaccine takes 2 weeks before you get the full effect of it.
All right. I don't know if you saw the sparring between Dr. Fauci and Senator Rand Paul. People arguing on Capitol Hill is nothing new. Only got about 30 seconds left, so I know that's a tight window. The herd immunity argument that was going back and forth, do you buy into anything that Senator Paul said about us reaching some sort of herd immunity in bigger cities?
No, not at all. Not even remotely close. And it's unfortunate that he's a physician, because I feel it was a little embarrassing. And Dr. Fauci not only knows it, knows his numbers as well. If you look at our total exposure rate across the United States, we're probably at about 9%. Certainly some cities may hit the 20-25%. It's been clearly shown that we are going to need a rate of about 60%, somewhere between 60-70% to get true herd immunity. So we're still a ways away, and it'd probably be about this time next year where we might be having that discussion. Certainly not now.
And unique that it was Senator Paul who said it. Obviously, you mentioned a physician, but someone who also had COVID.
You're correct. You know, here he is. He survived COVID, and you would think someone like that would be up to date, and a physician would really understand the concept of herd immunity and how important the numbers are in herd immunity.
Mm-hmm. 847 chimes in, doctor with the mostest. That could be one. I'm sure you've heard that before.
Yes.
It's better than Dr. Least. We'll give you credit for that one. Dr. Most, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for giving it to us here this morning.
You got it, John. Take care.
Yeah, take care as well. We always appreciate that.